So, you know, you can imagine plenty of examples in the world where you need to deal with gas flow, airflow, liquid flow, or you're interested in thermal phenomena, it could be your car radiator, air conditioning, as I mentioned, the blood flow simulations, or just as mentioned, the battery cooling simulations, if you need to design the cooling plate and proper cooling for your battery of the electric vehicle. These are all examples where CFD can be applied to replace prototypes.
Hi, my name is Gareth Thomas from Tangible Computing. This is a podcast about where computing meets the real world, from the fast and the complex, like controlling an engine, to the imaging of a patient or even scheduling an airline. We want to trigger your curiosity by talking to the people behind the scenes of making the modern world happen, deepening your understanding of where computation plays a role in our everyday lives and motivating you to help engineer a better world.
I'm Andrew Rutgers, co-host of Tangible Computing.
This podcast is powered by Version Bay, a consulting company that offers experienced consultants to professionalize your MATLAB, Simulink, and Python projects, minimizing the risk and quantifying the value in migrating to newer software environments.
And now, let's find out how software drives the world.
Today on Tangible Computing, we have a guest from Poland, Warsaw, Bartosz Górecki. Welcome, Bartosz. How are you?
Hi. Well, very good. Like it's a pleasure to see you and hear you again.
Can you maybe tell us a fun fact about yourself? Maybe something that not many people are aware of?
Fun fact. Well, to be honest, I don't think there are many fun facts that I can remind. Probably my people from my team could mention some, but I was thinking about that and I didn't come up with many. I used to relax in the free time, like running CrossFit, Latino dancing.
You also run a company, right, called Quickersim. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about what is Quickersim?
Yeah, Quickersim is focused on delivering custom simulation models. We focus on CFD modeling, so basically simulating fluid flows, heat transfer. We've started the company at the end of the PhD studies in this area. Right now, we've grown up to a team of 18 people, and we particularly focus, I would say, since 2 or 3 years, on the electromobility simulations, especially thermal battery simulations, so cooling circuits and similar things that assist the research and development in immobility.
So just to maybe clarify, when you say CFD, so maybe not everybody's listening knows what that stands for. Can you kind of clarify what that is and maybe give an example?
Yeah, it is. CFD stands for computational fluid dynamics. Well, some people call it colorful fluid dynamics or colors for directors. In the series, meaning CFD means everything what is associated with solving fluid flow equations, heat transfer equations. For example, if you are an engineer working in a research and development department of an automotive manufacturer, a ventilation equipment manufacturer, or sometimes even if you're interested in blood flow simulations for surgeries, for surgery planning, all these things assume that making the flow simulations make sense instead of making prototypes, or very, very often making the simulations can accelerate the process. So, you know, you can imagine plenty of examples in the world where you need to deal with gas flow, airflow, liquid flow, or you're interested in thermal phenomena, it could be your car radiator, air conditioning, as I mentioned, the blood flow simulations, or just as mentioned, the battery cooling simulations, if you need to design the cooling plate and proper cooling for your battery of the electric vehicle. These are all examples where CFD can be applied to replace prototypes.
You mentioned batteries there, so I realize that's not the only thing you do, but what kind of motivation would somebody have to want to analyze the temperature of a battery? What insights are people looking for typically?
Mm-hmm. You know, the motivation is very, very strong, because if you have a look at the electric vehicles, let it be your personal car or let it be electric bus, it turns out that around 30 to 40% of the total vehicle cost is the battery cost. So to say, it's battery is the most expensive part of your electric vehicle. So if anything goes wrong with that, huge loss. Like if you're the manufacturer, you probably need to replace it on the warranty. And in most cases, you don't want to do that. So it's better to design properly to not need to replace it. The second technical motivation is that the batteries in most cases, they have got some optimal working range. I mean, the range of temperatures in that they should operate, because if the temperatures are too low, it usually means that they will be like too sluggish. You cannot take much electricity out of it. If it's too hot, they degrade much quicker, which means that, for example, your vehicle would lose range in the next year. So it's very, very important to cool down the batteries, or in the winter, sometimes to heat them up to such temperatures that they operate in this optimal temperature range.
And when your customers kind of use your software and your expertise to understand that, are they actually looking for only like the lifespan of a piece of machinery, or are there other reasons why people would end up doing CFD analysis?
In general, there are usually other reasons. I would say with the batteries, it's the analyzing the lifespan, but even that, not always. Like if you do, for example, rapid charging, then it means that you use a lot of thermal energy within just a few minutes. And then you need to design cooling so that your cooling system can deal with that. But in other applications than batteries and electromobility, well, you're much more interested in having, for example, small pressure drops in your system. If you're designing some ventilation equipment for your house system or conditioning, then you simply used to use little fans that consume little electricity. And this means you need to optimize the channels for the airflow in such a way that they not generate many disturbances to the flow. And that's how you use CFD to optimize the shapes, how to optimize the design.
And maybe to go a little bit deeper around on how you're doing these calculations. So at a high level, this is a deeply mathematical simulations that you run, but can you maybe speak a little bit more about the generic mathematical principles that are used in your tools and in your expertise with your team?
I would say we can divide it into two levels of understanding. You can either look at that, how you use the software and how you technically make the simulation, or you can ask the question, what's behind the simulation? And let's start maybe with the first one, because it's easier to answer. The first one would be, if you want to run such a simulation, it usually means that you need to start with some three-dimensional CAD geometry. So if you design anything on a computer, you have some representation of the three-dimensional geometry of your model, whatever. And you need to subdivide into little cubes or something very, very similar, which we call having the discretization of the geometry or the space. And then it's oversimplification, what I always say, but then you use these little spheres, cubes or whatever to represent what the temperatures, what velocities you would have at each point, or so to say in each of these millions of cubes in your geometry. And by running the simulation, you come up with the numbers, like you come up with the whole temperature field, pressure drops, how the velocity distribution field is, what kind of velocity distribution you've got in your system. And you can visualize all these results in 3D post-processing software. So basically you can see, okay, what kind of streamlines do I have? What kind of temperatures or where I've got, etc. So this would more or less conclude this level of seeing how you technically do the simulation. But then you can ask yourself, especially for the computing freaks, you can ask yourself the question, okay, what's behind the simulation? And what's behind the simulation is, if you've got education in mechanical engineering, then you might have learned about Navier-Stokes equations that are used, like partial differential equations that model the fluid flows. So what's behind the simulation? You start with the differential equations that you need to discretize and write computational algorithms that will first be it some matrices, and then you will run linear or nonlinear solvers in your software to solve all these equations. And very, very often, these are like a couple of million equations or a couple of million unknowns in the system that you need to solve for.
And when you say a couple of million of equations, so in my understanding that there's a couple of techniques and different software vendors out there, and some of them take a very detailed approach and doing in multiple dimensions. But I think if I remember correctly from my university days, there's also ways of simplifying the problem. Where does Quickersim actually fall in this spectrum of, or do you cover everything?
It depends on the application. Like, that's true. In the standard CFD, very, very often you end up with a couple of million unknowns, a couple of million of these cubes, etc. And if it's needed to capture all the flow details, you really do that. But I would say, yes, there are a couple of large software vendors on the market, large players in the field. And we, as Quickersim, we are not trying to compete with them when I'm talking about our software. We do research and development projects. We run engineer consultancy. And in these situations where we see that such a detailed solution is really absolutely needed, we do the same, obviously, to do it properly. But also we see that in many situations, you don't really need to use CFD and high-performance computing to get really good results. And there are many cases where, especially in the early stages and the middle stages of some product development, you know, it's CFD means pretty much overhead, like preparing the geometry, preparing the computational mesh, setting up the simulation. It very often means like 2 weeks of engineer's time before you start the simulation. So there is pretty large overhead. And if you come up with a couple of millions unknowns, and maybe you need to run some unsteady cases like a transient and see how it develops in time, this can mean that you need to take 100 CPUs on a small supercomputer and run the simulation for 2 or 3 days. And I would say in many situations, it really makes sense to start with very, very smartly designed tailored models or custom models. And we do have some stories from the automotive where we have sacrificed, let's say, 2 or 3% of the accuracy to replace the CFD simulation running on 100 CPUs for 2 days with a laptop application running for just 1 hour. And really, the differences in the results were like 3% of accuracy. And then very often it makes sense if you've got proper fluid flow simulation knowledge, heat transfer simulation knowledge, that you can come up with very, very detailed model that is much simpler than the discretization of the general governing fluid flow equations.
What are some of the challenges in setting up a good CFD model?
Very, very often dealing with the geometry and the details of the mesh. But, you know, I would say there are many applications. Like, you can, for example, like the applications where it's relatively easy to simplify with high level of accuracy is, imagine you want to simulate engine radiator in your front radiator in your car. You can imagine there are plenty of small fins. If you want to model the geometry in details, it means certainly coming up with even hundreds of millions of cells to deal with such a flow. But if you think for a while about that, then it turns out that in your radiator, you've got probably like 100 tubes inside, and these are straight tubes, maybe with some perturbations or so, but generally you can really perfectly simplify that. You can really accurately calculate the heat transfer in one of these tubes, and this will be like representative. And then you can come up with the reduced model, which will treat your whole radiator as kind of porous zone or something like that, that you can like replace that with some resultant coefficients. And then still you've got a very, very detailed simulation, but you don't need to represent all the small geometrical details. So it would be one of the ways, which is really a large challenge, but you can very accurately simplify that.
So with a little bit of smarts, you're able to run the simulations much more efficiently.
Yeah, and usually you can't do it with the in the commercial CFD software available from the large software vendors. And no wonder, like, because they need to write software that is general purpose. And for a small company like ours with high competence in the development of numerical methods, it makes sense to come up with a tailored model, which can be much quicker and actually same accurate.
So if I also understand you correctly, Bartosz, you're kind of saying that, you know, in many cases, it's okay at an early stage in development to sacrifice that exact perfection and numerical accuracy for having a higher exploration space. And it seems to me you're empowering end users to get their insights and intuition, doing it quickly and fast. May I ask, what kind of tools are you leveraging to make this a reality? And is Quickerson built on top of any particular ecosystem?
It is. We, in the most applications, we build our solutions in MATLAB. Also, we very often use Quicker SimCFD toolbox for MATLAB as our computational engine, I would say. In some cases, we develop additional functions or methods. But in most cases, I would say we deal with MATLAB. It's like a very, very efficient environment to develop software quickly and to exploit the power of the mathematical algorithms that are already available. I can remember a couple of simulation projects at QuickerSim where we went into C++ programming and using external libraries, because it turned out that for some computations, it was a better choice. So I would say we select the environments depending on the project, but 70% of our applications are MATLAB-based.
And so this sounds like a very particular niche area. And I'm kind of curious of, how did you find yourself and come to this idea of creating Quicker? What's your superhero story behind where you are today?
It's a very, very naive story. Like, I remember meeting the Polish distributor of MATLAB back in, probably 2015. And I remember that I got to know that MathWorks allows third-party companies to be partnered with MathWorks and to prepare additional products for MATLAB. And when I got to know that, I went on the web and checked, well, there are pretty many CFD packages on the market in general, but it turns out there is absolutely no CFD toolbox for MATLAB. And I realized, okay, we know how to do it because we've been developing such simulation codes at the university for a couple of years. We exactly knew how to do that. So it was a very, very, very naive idea. Okay, if no one did it, and like MATLAB has good, I don't know how many, but probably something like 3 million users worldwide, then the very naive idea was, okay, if no one has done it so far, let's do it before anyone else does it. And how it's how we started QuickerSim with this CFD toolbox. I think that's it. Like, further, it's for a long story how we've been developing, etc. But it was the start.
But was this something that when you were at a younger age, you kind of had this idea of always becoming a mechanical engineer, and then during your degree, you kind of figured out this was a painful course, or one or two of your professors that you said there must be a simpler way, and then you figured out, well, I'm going to go and create a company? Or what kind of triggered you to go down this path?
Probably from some personal motivations. I know that I had the idea of setting up, founding a company, probably back at during my university years, during my undergraduate or postgraduate studies. And I also remember that was probably the start of my interest in fluid mechanics. I remember being the first year mechanic engineering student when I got to know that there is, in the second year of the studies, that there is such a course on fluid mechanics, and it's terribly difficult, and like almost many people cannot pass that, they have difficulties to pass that. And then I said to myself, okay, I want to have the highest grade in that course. And well, I didn't succeed with having the highest grade, but But it was really the start of my interest in fluid mechanics. I think it was kind of ambition that if it's difficult, I want to be good at that, at it. And then it started, you know, it was the first course, and I had many more courses on turbulence modeling, heat transfer modeling, numerical methods, probably in total like 10 different courses loosely associated to heat transfer fluid mechanics, then the PhD studies. So I constantly kept developing my academic career towards being some kind of expert in that field. And then at the end of the PhD studies, we really, with my co-founder, we founded the company.
So you did your PhD, and then straight after your PhD, did you start the Quickerson with the intent of capturing talented younger versions of yourself? Was that a bit of the idea of how you were going to build the company, or was it just following your personal dream that, what comes next? Time to create a company.
Well, kind of both. I think at the very beginning, I wasn't, you know, thinking so strategically. I would say this came a bit later, but certainly we are still recruiting talents from our university or other universities, because I think it's one of the best ways to build a really highly educated team at the beginning, not very experienced, but if you've got three talents that you can recruit, it's already a pretty good start.
So on the one hand, the company is doing partly consulting work and supporting clients directly. You're doing, you have a core toolbox that you've built, and then you're also doing kind of custom software development for clients. How do you balance those areas, and how do you find those kind of objectives interact within the company?
We see it as two or three ways how to generate revenue. And I think the Quickerson CFD toolbox is the product that we've started with, and it's still, we've got a lot of space on the market to develop that. I think it's really perfect tool for research, for universities, for some commercial companies. The electromobility is another hot topic, and hot, you know, in both senses, very, very hot topic. And engineering services, that's something that we've got strong competence still back from the university, but it's also a way to still learn from our customers and from their needs.
So you see the consulting as substantially supporting the other product lines, or is that a large business driver by itself?
I think it's both, and it's also gives a lot of satisfaction improving the products of your customers. And simply running the CFD simulations in multiple areas of engineering, not focusing on just one of them.
And now that you're quite a few years into running the company now, what is the most fun part of your job? So when you wake up, what puts the biggest smile on your face?
Well, seeing satisfied customers, seeing projects that we have finished, and the customers are really happy with that. And it happens pretty often. I think it's it gives plenty of satisfaction. But for me personally, based on my character features and traits, I see that being in touch with people, doing the business development, identifying the synergies and potential ways of cooperation, something that is driving me towards further development.
And I guess the flip side of that, so what are your biggest challenges around running this company and then growing it?
Still proper management. I think we are currently really good at working at the technical projects, and I think we don't have problems or flows often, and we can probably deal with them if they happen at all, and it goes on time, etc. But I still have challenges in management. Like for example, sales management is always a challenge for me. I think also planning the strategic development is also some kind of challenge. Like I can still see that we happen to get more and more contacts and doing more and more business development, and we go into some partnerships, etc. But it's very, very difficult to plan ahead. And also we, with the sales management, we do have situations where we are selling more and when we are selling less. And I still want to make it reasonably stable so that you know what kind of revenue we generate every month or every quarter. And it's fluctuating still.
Right. So I was also looking a little bit on your website of how widely used your tools are. So there's you're in the thousands of users, if I read it correctly. Are there any use cases where people are using your tools which like completely surprise you, where you said, oh, this was not where we started with, but it's interesting to see that someone would actually want to use the tools that you're developing? Are there any of these surprise cases that cross your desk?
Yes, we did have. I remember talking with some researchers from some cancer research institute. They needed to run some flow simulations on a, I would say, microscopic level, maybe not in the cells, but really microscopic level. And it was something that was really surprising for us. Like when they have shown us what kind of equations they want to solve, okay, you can do it with the CFD toolbox. That's right. But it's not something that we came up with when we were implementing the software.
And does the numerical accuracy change dramatically if you reduce the, go down to that level, or what makes it different?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, there are some differences in the physical modeling of flows in microchannels, but you don't always need to deal with that. Like it's very technical, but the reason is sometimes you need to account for that, but there are also applications where you can neglect that without any bad consequences.
And then maybe just a few more questions before we wrap up. What are you going to learn next? What's high on your to-do list?
Very, very high on my current to-do list, I would say from since yesterday. It's learning OKRs, like the objective and key results. And I think this should be one of my remedies for still my challenges management. We are constantly improving the company, and we've been doing a lot for the last couple of months in the improvement of the company. But I think the objectives and key results and the audiobook that I'm currently listening is something that I want to master personally and bring this relatively quickly to my team. I don't know if you know that, but it's like one of the management systems or principles that was used by Intel. It has been adopted by Google in the very early stages of Google development and still used by Google. And I think we also need a lot of focus at Quikersim because there are some many challenges and also a lot of ambition how we want to develop, but we need to get things done and make them happen. I think one of the guys teaching how to develop OKRs said, like, ideas are easy, execution is everything.
Right. And maybe then, how should people get in contact with you if they want to learn more? What is the best way to reach you?
I think one of the best ways to reach personally to me is to find me on LinkedIn. Maybe you can post a link to my LinkedIn profile. But if you have people interested in CFD services, research projects, or in battery modeling, you can go to www.quikersim.com. Or if you're interested in electromobility applications, probably the better website for you is emobility.quikersim.com. And you can find the contact emails that are related to each of these areas.
This is a great place to stop our conversation today. I wanted to thank you for listening to Tangible Computing. While we have your attention, we really want this podcast to trigger your curiosity and motivate you to engineer a better world. So let us know if you have any ideas for future topics and speakers, or even how to make this podcast better. Just send us an email to tangible@tangiblecomputing.com.